So tonight, we got my old buddy Preston on. He's a videographer, a photographer, a fishographer, and a lot of other stuff. Anyway, we had a great talk about all sorts of things. Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham. The tally light is on. So we're here with Preston. You guys, if you saw the New Year's live event, you realized that Preston kind of came through and saved the day for us.
I didn't save much.
After you did great, man. After like four people just last minute didn't work out.
100 feet of Ethernet cable.
Yeah, we had our technical difficulties. But you came in, did a fantastic job. How are you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good.
Want this rain to stop.
Man, I didn't think it was going to start, and now it's not going to stop. You might have noticed that we're not inside next to, in front of the Bricks tonight. We're at Three Rivers Nutrition on North Broad Street in Rome. This is a little bit of a temporary location. We've been displaced tonight for the 45th and possibly the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. He's in town. We're filming this on a Friday night. He's going to be here tomorrow. So downtown is a boondoggle, and there are Trump merchandise stands and people camping on the sidewalk and all sorts of things. And we just didn't want to navigate that, so we relocated tonight to this fine establishment where you can get a protein shake or energy tea or not an energy tea. All kinds of fun stuff. So that's a little bit of a plug for those guys. Thank you, Landon and Emma, for letting us use your space. Fantastic folks.
Three Rivers Nutrition.
North Broad Street, Rome, Georgia. I should know the address. Is it on the door? It's not on the door. Anyway, it's a little bit weird. We're on like street level here. People walking by, cars coming and going. Anywho, I'm babbling a little bit. But what you up to, man? What you been doing?
Working. Running a side hustle.
What's your
trying to get my boat to work?
The boat. So you were going to go. This worked out after all because you were going to go out on the boat today.
Yeah, I was going to try to hit the lake before that time change next weekend.
Oh yeah. So that's not this weekend, but next weekend, right?
No, it's this weekend. It's
oh, so when you watch
tomorrow
this,
night,
is it really? Oh boy, this is the worst. The time change is the dumbest thing that we do, I think, as a country.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, people do some dumb stuff, but we don't need it anymore.
No, I don't see a reason as to why we need it now, and it just causes issues. Like, I don't, there's so many more benefits than if you had to change it. Like,
to just not, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you harm more with the changes than you would just getting rid of it.
Yeah, everybody's going to be late to church tomorrow, and then they're going to be late to work for like a week and a half until you catch up. And
we're all going to be mad because it's dark at 6 again.
Yeah, we miss a yeah. Is that how it goes? It's going to be dark at 6?
I think.
No, this is the one where it's dark later.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was dark at 6 tonight-ish, and then it's going to be, yeah, we get our hour. But this is, I forget who it was, or if it's even... I think it might or might not have even been like a real thing that some Indian chief said once upon a time, but they were like, only the white man would cut a foot off the top of the blanket and sew it to the bottom and tell you that it's a longer blanket.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, like they go way back, they did this, like this was Ben Franklin's idea. And apparently as smart as he was, he didn't understand that the farmer was going to get up with the sun no matter what.
Yeah.
And we could change the time or not.
Why
change
not
the time.
Adjust the time of the institutions that were in the way.
Yeah, right.
Like, I get it was to let, you know, kids, whenever they got off school, go back and help their families in the farm. Why not just move the school time?
Right. It makes sense anyway. Kids' brains don't get going until, like, 10 in the morning anyhow. So, just adjust. You know, it is what it is.
It just throws everything off.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that stinks. I didn't realize. I really thought it was next weekend. So by the time you watch this, the time will have changed.
You will have already lost your hour of sleep.
So we'll be mad on your behalf right now, preemptively, on a Friday night beforehand. Anyway, Preston, me and you go way back.
Yeah.
Way back to the old the youth group days. We were talking a little bit about some of that before we got rolling here. And you guys, you and Tango reminded me that, or you confirmed that you remembered things that I said 10, 12 years ago. So that's good.
Had the weird Bible stories.
Yeah. That's the most fun though, right? When you
Hey, it's the only story or the only lesson I remember.
It's what you remember, yeah. We talked about Balaam, the talking donkey, Ehud. What was the third story? Was it the dry bones, the zombies?
Probably. Yeah, that's what we got started on.
Yeah, we were talking about the zombies in the Bible. That's a little bit of a stretch, I realize that, but it's, you know.
I mean, according to Matthew, Jesus came back with zombies.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, for all intents and purposes.
They were dead beings walking.
Yeah. We're kind of zombies, I guess, in that right, before we find Jesus. Yeah, so can zombies climb ladders? Where are you guys at on this?
I don't think so.
Right, so Walking Dead zombies can't climb ladders. World War Z zombies can climb ladders, right?
They can climb walls.
Yeah. But they would do like ants, right, and climb on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Walking Dead zombies wouldn't.
Build a pyramid up the side of...
Yeah, I think the Walking Dead zombies are the standard, right? Like, that's the most popular.
They like their marrows, I think. Yeah. I like the, I like Zack Snyder's zombies that ride horses and do crazy things.
And zombie tigers.
Those aren't zombies at all.
Zombie tiger.
All right, a zombie tiger. I can get behind that. But we went off the rails like early on in this one, didn't we? Anyway, so we mentioned earlier that you were going to go fishing, and you also had mentioned a side hustle. And they're not necessarily related, but they kind of are, at least in name. What's your side hustle?
So my side hustle, now it's evolved. It's not just video. Video, photo, media production company, One Fish Productions. Wearing the hat.
Wearing the hat.
Really just anything tech related. If somebody has a need, I'm like, I'm going to go learn that. I'm going to go do that. I'll figure it out.
It's a thing these days, right? Like, there's demand for that.
Yeah. Just this last weekend, I did photography at a wedding. They had seen my work before. I'd never done a wedding specifically for photography. I've done a bunch of video weddings, stuff like that. But they're like, hey, we like your style. Can you do it? I was like, can I do it? Sure.
Sure, I can do it, yeah. It's just your wedding, right, if it doesn't go well.
Now I'm editing hero cards, posters, flags, really just kind of making marketing materials for
what is a groups. Hero card?
So you were real big into wrestling, right?
Like pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so once like whenever you would go and meet a pro wrestler at their table,
yeah.
That thing that they would sign, picture of themselves and hand it to you. It was never just a regular picture. It had all kinds of weird graphics on it.
Right.
That's a hero card.
Okay. You can do that?
Yeah.
You just make those?
Started doing them last year for a driver. Real big in the racing world to hand those out or sell them. He was handing them out at a trunk or treat. And so.
Hero card. I've seen those a million times, but I've never heard that name for it. Yeah. That's cool.
They go by a lot of different names, but just recently, like everything's in the racing world, it started coming under a hero card.
Hero card.
I found out that you can get flags, custom flags, cheaply made recently.
Oh, yeah. You can get a flag. That's easy.
And I have some drivers that are asking for some flags now I'm like, this is going to be fun.
So you referenced pro wrestling a minute ago to kind of give me a frame of reference, I guess, for these hero cards. And you're talking about drivers. What is your affiliation with these drivers?
Yeah, so I do dirt track racing. Started on it last year. This is boyfriend's family was like, come to the track, have some fun with us. Okay. Showed up. There was a 13-year-old girl racing in a super late model. I guess a 602 late model.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed that she was out there toe-to-toe with
all 13 years old.
She's racing limited, I believe, this season. So she stepped up real big into the game.
Yeah.
So started doing some filming for them,
yeah.
Getting them some short reels, whatnot, and had some other drivers along the way. They're like, hey, I want you to come document my night. Got Tango to come out with me a couple times. Get some cool shots.
That's, man, the racetrack is so, like, photographable.
Yeah.
Like, everything is...
Well, if you have enough light.
Yeah. You don't always, I guess, the infields. And
certain tracks I like more than others based on the light. Sonoya being one of the best well-lit. Bubba Pollard really runs a real good track down there.
Yeah.
One of the races I went to last year, all the lights cut out on the track.
Oh.
And in about 30 minutes, they had gone over to all the local farms and everything. Went to his own house and grabbed generator lights and had the entire track lit up, ready for them to race. But that's a real nice track. A little bit of a drive.
Yeah.
They race on that gumbo. It's not quite the red clay.
Oh, really? Is it? Not that. I mean, that's not even that far south, I guess, but it's out of the red clay belt.
They bring a lot of dirt in for that. Whereas, like, up here, Rome and Dixie, they have their own red clay piles in the backyard.
Right.
And that's where I grew up going to races.
Yeah.
Was that red clay. You come home, take a shower, it looks like you're bleeding.
Yeah. You wash your clothes off at the end of the night, or you're getting the shower, and it looks like you've been looking murdered somebody in your shower.
Yeah. Two very different surfaces. I know the drivers, some of them prefer one over the other. That red clay gets real slick
if it
rains like this. Gumbo usually lets a little more water through, so they're...
Yeah, if you get a drizzle on red clay, like, the night's just over.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a fast track. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Had a couple rain outs last season that ended the season about a month earlier than it should have.
Right. Not much you can do about that, though, right? I mean, it's either going to rain or it's not, and you just hope for the best.
And I'm not out making a living off that. It's more fun.
Not yet.
Bentox right now, hopefully it's not too early to announce, Bentox to be the track photographer for a track up here.
When you say a track up here, do you mean a track in the, we won't say the name of the place, in the same county with us?
Two races will be there.
Okay.
That and a sister track.
Okay.
But
I got you.
I'm excited for that opportunity.
It's a big deal.
I grew up going to the races there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, both tracks. And I think it's just really cool to be involved in something like that.
Yeah.
And just to be there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Growing up in the stands is way different than what I'm doing in the pits now.
It's a different world. Yeah.
Much louder, a little dirtier.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever go to North Georgia up in Chatsworth?
I have not. I want to.
Yeah.
The opportunity I had last year got rained out.
Mm.
Now, I have been to their go-kart track over at Dog.
Right across the street, yeah.
Right across the street. AJ Martin, if you're watching, shout out to him.
There you go.
But
we used to race a lot at North Georgia when I worked on Scooter Allison's car way back in the day. And I think it's my favorite racetrack.
Really?
It's small. It's like a 3/8, so it's not as big as like a Rome or a Dixie. But the bleachers are dangerously close. Like, way closer than they should be. So it's a fantastic place to go watch a race.
The best track.
Yeah, it really is. And then the infield is really small and compact. And, there's not, like, a bad place. You can see the track from everywhere in the house, like, even the infield.
I will say, I was looking at going over to a race at North Alabama. Have you ever been there?
So, it's not Huntsville. Where's it at?
Northeast Alabama.
Fort Payne.
No.
Think about
or,
somewhere
I'm sorry,
else.
Northwest.
Okay.
Over on the other side by the chain of lakes.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
And that track, I believe, does not have a wall on 3/4 of the track.
Yeah.
It only got the front straightaway.
Yeah.
And so...
Phoenix City's that way.
Yeah.
It may be East Alabama now. I don't know what they're calling it. But, there's only a wall on, like, the front straight where the bleachers are.
Yeah. I want to say Talladega's that way, too.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think so. You hear us? You're like hand gesturing back there. Okay. Cool. Good deal.
Yeah, that's been real cool.
Yeah.
just being around the drivers and stuff, you kind of see a different side of people.
Yeah.
I did a video last year for Jonathan Martin. You know, a lot of drivers, especially whenever you get into the asphalt world, you know, they're big, arrogant. Look at me. But dirt track racing is really like a family affair.
Well, those guys are still working on their own cars.
Yeah.
They're still turning wrenches on Tuesday.
Exactly.
Nights. Yeah.
And so, you know, one of my favorite clips, his daughter is sitting on the car as he drives in after a second or third place finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was happy. You know, he had a chance there towards the end to win. And, but, you know, coming in, he wasn't disappointed. He wasn't, oh, my car wasn't fast enough, you know.
Sometimes you
come hop up on with me.
One guy gets to win, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're gonna be disappointed every night, like maybe that's not the sport for you. Yeah. But
and just a smile on his face, you know, seeing his daughter, you know, come and hop up on the car.
Yeah.
And
well, that's such an intense thing if you think about it. Like you strap yourself into a car that's only made to go fast. Like there's no air condition, there's no radio. Like you're in the you've built this bullet to get in and drive as fast as you can, and you might die. You know, so like at the end of that, you look around and your car's intact and you finished in fourth place. You know, you didn't win, but you had a good night and you can put the car back on the trailer in one piece. Yeah, let's get my little girl up on the car and take some pictures. And, you know, and that's a cool thing.
And, you know, it's crazy. I don't know how he does it. He flipped twice down at Sonoya.
Ooh.
Two races in a row, I believe.
That would be, is that my phone dinging? It's obnoxious. I said last time this happened, it was never going to happen again. Just blowing up. Yeah,
is that you?
That's me. If I flip 2 weeks in a row, it's the last time I'm racing. I'm done.
Yeah.
Hey, how do I mute this?
There's one little switch on the side for those of us that Tango does not have an iPhone. Yeah,
he's an Android loser.
Just knock it down. Did it like buzz in your hand when you did it?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, you're good. Holy smokes. This is what happens. Anyway.
It's all Chris Pyle's fault.
Is it Pyle? Man.
Usually I'm blaming you, but.
Pyle just going ham on the send button. All good. All good. We got to get him back on again. He's lots of fun. So anyway, so you're shooting racing. Your thing is called One Fish Productions. Why is it One Fish Productions?
So it's more of embracing an old nickname that I hated.
Yeah.
Lane Hendricks, me and him used to fish a lot.
Mm-hmm.
By a lot, I mean like every chance we weren't doing something.
Right.
He was either at my house hopping in my truck or I was at his house hopping in his.
Yeah.
And we just ride the back roads, find a pond that we wanted to fish. If there was a house within sight, we were knocking on the door asking to fish it. Actually, got to go fish an NFL player's house with them.
Oh, wow.
But if there's a body of water, we were on it. And
yeah.
Whenever we'd go fishing, I'd always catch one fish. That was it for the day. No matter how hard I tried the rest
never
of the day.
Never two fishes, never zero fishes, but and just so, the one fish.
So he would call me the one fish wonder. And whenever I started doing this video stuff, I was like, I got to put a name on it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be, you know, their name photography.
Yeah. Kind of it's lame when you put your own name on stuff.
You know.
That's why I got a coyote on.
Right, right. Here we are on Burnham Podcast.
So I just needed something that I could really identify outside of myself.
Yeah.
You know, brand recognition is a huge thing, and I needed something that would catch. No pun intended.
One fish catch. I see what you did there, Preston.
My goal is to catch your audience hook, line, and sinker.
It's corny.
So,
gotta be ashamed of yourself. Nah, that's cool, man. And it makes it like a personal thing,
yeah,
as opposed to just being like, you know, I don't know, lightning bolt photography or whatever your, you know, some dumb name.
And it's cool, like at some of the football games I went to, you know, I'm out there shooting for Cath High, and you know, the players, they might not know my name. But I'd walk by, they'd be like, sup, one fish.
One fish, yeah.
You know, they know that.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
That was pretty cool that they recognized that. And
yeah. That's that brand recognition like you're talking about. Yeah. Like it catches on and somebody sees it and they know.
And the cool thing, whenever you got something like that, I mean, you can go and Make logos, throw it on hat, stickers.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of why I named this after myself, was because I didn't have to, like, you know, worry about copyrights and things like that. It's my name, like, whatever. But that's, One Fish is pretty cool, too. Yeah. I like Coyote Media. There's a fantastic story behind that. Go back and listen to the episode with producer Tango. Good stuff. Are you breaking the chair?
What the heck was that?
That sounded like it was.
I thought it was. Is it this bottle of water?
Yeah.
My water bottle crinkling.
I was like, what the?
I thought we started a fire. Man.
That Secret Service is moving in on us.
You know, they're less than a mile from here right now. They've been down on Broad Street the last few days shaking people down. Want to know where'd this door go? And don't go out. Don't open this window between these. Holy smokes, man. What a boondoggle.
Hey, I just, you been arrested down there yet? Have they gotten to you?
I haven't made it down there, and I'm trying to avoid it with everything.
So let's talk about how wild this is, right? Like, we're on, our place is downtown on Broad Street. The building that Trump is going to be speaking in tomorrow, yesterday, as you watch this, whenever. You can almost reach out our back window and touch it. There were people sleeping out there in their cars. Like, for the last couple of days, somebody finally came through and ran them out today, and they just went and got, like, lawn chairs, and they're just posted up on the sidewalk.
That sounds like the Cartersville Christmas Parade, honestly.
Kinda, yeah, yeah. You, or, you know, anywhere, like, I'm going to go in there and reserve my seat. Like, I guess people got tickets to go, like, you could register. They weren't, like, selling tickets, but you could register to go in there and watch. So you're either registered or you're not. Otherwise, you're just standing outside because Trump's in that building.
Yeah.
That's a little bit weird to me. Somebody used the C word earlier. I don't remember which one of you guys it was, in reference to these people. This, I'll say cult, I guess. We can call it a cult.
Oh, it's 100% a cult.
Yeah, that's me. Here he comes. I've piqued his interest. Now he's back.
Dude, but, don't I have a video of you chaining 4 more years?
That was like 5 years ago, dude.
Listen, I voted for the guy twice, okay? I've also done episodes of this podcast where I absolutely rip some of the stuff that he's done. But, man, there are people, and they're, like, across the street right now, there's some people over there that just follow him everywhere he goes. And they've got a merch tent, and, like, that's capitalism, and that's great, but, like...
Now, the funny thing about these events, because... We went to one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you're out front here. You got these vendors set up selling hats for $45 a piece. All right.
And people just shelling it out.
But whenever you went to go in, you weren't allowed to have external hats and stuff.
Really?
They were making you throw them away. A lot of people were hiding them. They were real strict about what you could come in with. And then they were handing out official hats inside. And so,
man, this warning is going to be too late for the thousands of people that are going to buy hats and not be able to take them in tomorrow.
You know, I figured that they were probably selling the hats, waiting until they all got dumped, walking over, picking them up.
And selling them again.
Watch them all sell them again.
You can buy your hat back on the way out. Holy smoke. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that was that's something that just surprised me a lot about that. That event was...
I didn't get to go. Like, I wanted to go, but man, I did not want to be tangled up with 114,000 people.
It was crazy.
You guys are junkies. Y'all are absolute cavemen.
And we were there within the first 10,000 people, you know, and we didn't know it was going to be that big.
Yeah.
In fact, we went last second. It was like, hey, this is happening in a couple hours. You want to go?
In a couple hours.
And I was like, sure. And we show up. And,
yeah.
You know, we were early enough.
Walked now, 6 miles.
Well, so we got to drive there. They had buses there. And then 6 miles back to the mall.
Man.
Six miles.
Something that nobody here is going to get to experience. That's watching Air Force One fly in and land on the tarmac that you're standing on.
I saw it. We watched it fly over the house. It had a couple of fighter jets with it. And it was the only plane in the airspace. So we knew what it was. But, like, it would have been cool. And I say that it would have been cool. It would have been cool to watch any president land Air Force One at the airport and get out and do the, you know, the president thing at the top of the stairs and all that stuff. Super cool to see that in person.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's the president. It is what it is, regardless if it's your guy or not. But you know, I had a dream one time. I was at a basketball game with Barack Obama. He was a super cool guy. We were just talking about hoops, you know, politics didn't matter, whatever. But yeah, but I think it'd be cool to talk. We were talking about this earlier today, Tango, me and you and Pyle, whether or not we'd like to. Pyle's like, why hadn't you got Trump on the podcast yet? I'm like, well, I'm kind of mad at the guy because he locked down all these city streets or whatever, but you know.
Hey, well, the other guy's got all of Atlanta locked down tomorrow too. So
they've got the entire state of Georgia bottleneck over the course of 18 hours here, right?
Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, right. By the time you guys listen to this, it won't matter. You can go back on YouTube and probably find the speeches or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, man. But there's a point though where I was going with this was there's a point where you support a political candidate and you vote for a guy, and then you cross a line somewhere where it becomes worship, and we're worshiping a politician. You know, I was going to drag you down this road tonight, did you?
I figured with him being in town, this is where we'd be going.
It's the buzz, man. It's the buzz. But it's a thing, and you can see it. And, you know, it's not just Trump. Everybody's got their guys. There's some politicians that are so awful. Like, the only explanation is that people are worshiping this guy, and they're following him around. But, like, man, what kind of sacrifices are people making to get to go to a Donald, to like,
when you said you got people sleeping on the street,
yeah,
3 days in a
just dance. Camping out, you know,
about the heaviest rain of the season tonight, and
they're not going to be allowed to take umbrellas into the rally tomorrow. Like, it's going to rain tomorrow too. They're going to stand out in the rain. They're out there now, waiting to get in, and they're going to walk in soaking wet. I don't know how cold it's going to be tomorrow, but if you're wet, it's colder than, you know, whatever you thought anyway. But at what point, you know, does it become idolatry and you're worshiping this dude? Like, we crossed that line at some point. And people just doing insane stuff. They gave my president. Like, number one, he's not your president. Like, right now, he just ain't. It's like, sorry. He might be. He used to be. But, like, man, I don't know. We deny reality for the sake of supporting our political ideals, and there's plenty of that on both sides, because then there's other people that are like, we don't know what a woman is because, you know, it might hurt somebody's feelings.
Well, and a lot of what you get is the group mentality.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
whenever you get a group of people together, you know, if they all have one common goal, really anything can happen.
Right, yeah.
You know, nobody really takes accountability for their actions and responsibility for themselves.
Yeah.
And that herd mentality is dangerous.
Well, it's wild. You can see that, though, if you just listen to people talk and unrelated, unaffiliated people other than their political ideals, like, you hear them say the exact same things. Like, Trump is the only guy who can save America. Like, is he? Like, is he? He's it? Like, he's the only. Maybe he can. But is he the only one, you know? And but they, you hear people saying the same things, and as believers, like, that's what you want because this is our religion. But then you cross over into something, and it's not
political
just
political religion.
That's exactly what it is. We worship political ideals. People worship their sporting, you know, their favorite sports teams. People in Kansas City, we were talking about the Kansas City people.
Amputations.
They losing limbs. Because they watched the Chiefs play when it was negative 29 degrees or whatever outside.
Like, I'll go and I'll suffer through the weather for a football game.
Yeah.
But you get that cold.
Tango's out.
Yeah. No, I'm done. You get below freezing and it's like, do I really want to be here?
You got to evaluate at some point, right? Like, now, is this worth it?
I did it for the CAF playoff last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 28 at kickoff, but
okay,
first time they'd made it that far.
Cass is traditionally pretty lousy, so when they make the playoffs, you got to go, right?
And then this year, of course, we played first week, it was like 68 at kickoff,
yeah,
muggy as mess. And then first round was, it was all right, it was like mid 50s,
right?
Second round is muggy, South Atlanta. Had us on a delay halfway through the game. They couldn't get the stadium lights back on. And then the third week, we were down at Coffee County, South Georgia. And, I mean, that's just the armpit of the South.
Whew, bless their heart. People listen to us down there. Preston, knock it off.
They know what I mean.
No, I know. It's funny, though, that Tango's like, I'm not sitting out in the cold watching a football game. Your favorite sport's played on ice.
Yeah. But I'll happily go climb a mountain at negative 50.
Yeah, football's
just
not.
Which I've done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and watch a sport in cold.
Because you don't worship the Fighting Roll Tides or the Patrick Mahomes of the world.
Nah, I don't worship Kermit.
Ooh, Kermit. Call him Kermit, man.
He's just coming at me because I'm a Kansas Chiefs fan.
Are you a yeah. Chiefs fan?
Nah, he's secretly just a Swiftie.
Is he a Swiftie? Is that what that is?
That's why he loves Kansas City.
Worst thing to happen to the franchise, hands down.
The worst thing to happen to sports ever. Like, just show me the football game. That's it. That's all I want to see.
Agreed.
Man. Can't just enjoy a game anymore.
Go Dogs.
Yeah, I'm over that too, man. I've always caught so much heat because I'm not a Georgia Bulldogs fan. Well, you live in Georgia. Why aren't you just a Bulldog fan? No, I've always been a Notre Dame fan, which is insane. No, right? But I've given up on college football the last couple of years, and it just hadn't mattered anyway. But, like, as a colorblind kid, Georgia looks the same as, like, Texas to me. So, like, who cares, you know? But the gold on Notre Dame's helmets is always gold, even to the colorblind kid. So, like, you know. And I mean,
makes sense.
I'm not Irish, but if you've ever seen me, if you're not one of our audio-only people, you realize I'm ginger.
I bet we could give you a DNA test, and it'd come back pretty Irish.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I know. I'm sure there's a lot of Irish there. So I can get behind that. That's cool, right? Like that little leprechaun guy, that's me. I can dig that.
You like funny Lucky part, Charms?
I do. I always love Lucky Charms. But it's funny that I'm a Reformed pastor. We like to think that our church is the result of what Martin Luther was going for when he started the fight with the Catholic Church, who is Notre Dame, you know. So there's that. There's that little bit of a...
That is interesting.
It is, yeah, like a paradox of character. I don't know.
Don't they have football Jesus up on there?
Touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah, they're giant second commandment violation.
You
want to
talk about a cult.
Man, yeah. I've never been there before. I've always wanted to go to a game there. I thought it'd be cool. I've seen them play, like, in a bowl game here and there, stuff like that. But I used to be real big on Touchdown Jesus, and then I realized that it was an absolute violation of the second commandment. It's like a 200-foot graven image, and I'm like, yeah, I can't get behind Touchdown Jesus anymore. Like, maybe John the Baptist, I don't know.
I didn't think that a school with religious background would get behind it, but money from those boosters talks.
Man, yeah, that's the library there at the school, and you just put a big picture of Jesus up there and the checks start rolling in, you know. And which reminds me, we're getting a giant towering Jesus statue in front of our church. We're not doing that. I'm just kidding. Just send the money on in to the church. No, that's stupid. But, yeah, that's true. You put a big picture of Jesus up, and the cash starts rolling in from the boosters.
So I do have a question for you.
All right.
How did your chess tournament go?
Man, the chess tournament was cool. You were not around for that, were you? I always just imagine you being there because we spend so much time up there. It was great. It didn't turn out like we didn't get the turnout that we had necessarily hoped for, but we got a ton of donations that made up the difference. Awesome. Like, we got the amount of money that we were going for.
Did you win any?
No, I didn't want to play, but I ended up being the guy to round out the bracket, so I had to play. Then I lost my two games and I was out because I'm not good at chess. I know what all the pieces do, but like, I don't know. Like strategy and, you know, stuff like that. But
Tango, do you know how to play chess?
Yeah.
I mean, how to play?
Well, I used to play all the time when I was living up at camp.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a book of, like, all the chess openings and everything.
The horse makes the L.
So I learned all the fun gambits and whatnot.
So for those of you that are not up to speed, we had a fundraiser at our church. We held a chess tournament. With the idea of raising money to do missions and ministry and things outside the walls of our church. And so that was the idea behind that. I don't know if we've ever mentioned it on the podcast or not. We had a YouTube video about it, but, Tango did a fantastic job with that. I don't think we mentioned it on the show though. Probably should have. Probably would have helped in the lead up next time. Anyway, but yeah, it went good. It went well. We had a good turnout. got the amount of money we were going for.
Awesome.
So, yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, I was planning on coming to it.
Everybody was planning on coming.
When I saw the post.
Yeah.
But I was actually filming a music festival down in Sanford, Florida, for one of my buddy's bands.
A music festival.
Funny story about that.
Shoot it at us.
I went down there to film, and Friday, one of his instrumentalists got sick, and the show was Saturday.
Ooh.
So we're driving around Sanford. I forget if we were headed to the driving range or disc golf or what, doing typical white people stuff, you know.
Oh, that's the one you asked if I could get down to Orlando for.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Can't just go to Orlando.
Well, Friday afternoon, we're driving around, and he was like, hey, you want to play bass?
Can you play bass?
Well, I've picked around on it on one a couple times. It's kind of basic.
Yeah.
I play acoustic guitar, a little bit of electric, and so the bass guitar is just the top four strings.
Right.
And so if you know where your notes are there, you can play it.
Yeah, but did you know any of the songs they were going to play?
So
are
no.
you just hoping for like Circle of Fifths?
They were original songs that they played. I think they did one cover. Luckily, I only had to play on one song, but I went. I bought a bass guitar, returned it.
Wow.
But
you rented a bass guitar.
Yeah. Well, we were going to rent it, and he was like, you know, it's less paperwork for me if you just buy it and return it tomorrow. I was like,
wow.
Okay. So that was fun. Cabin 13. They have a single coming out March 29th.
If this Cabin 13? Okay.
Make some real good music. I'm excited for the single at the end of the month. It's different than anything they've put out so far.
Are you plugging pagan music on my podcast? Is that what's... Maybe? Okay.
But it's just three guys that have a love of music. And
these guys from Cartersville?
One of them lives in Cartersville.
Okay.
The other two are down in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Talking about moving one of them up here.
Okay. What is rehearsal like when... You live in a different state. How does that go?
It's a lot of learning on your own.
Yeah.
I know the drummer, he's got recording software. So he'll record the songs up here, doesn't even play with them for the recordings that they're putting out.
Wow.
Just in the digital age where you can do that now.
All right.
The other two, they get together and play every so often. But... I could imagine how hard it is.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never tried to play like in a rock band before. I poke at the guitar a little bit myself, but like, I don't know. Let's rehearse together, not like in a Zoom call or whatever.
And they all three used to live somewhat close to each other down there, and so that's how they met and started playing.
Yeah,
but then life just takes you different directions. And
yeah, I gotcha. So you're shooting football and racing and music festival. What's the weirdest thing you ever shot?
Weirdest thing. I don't know why Hayden has that look.
Because he knows the answer. I don't know the answer. You got to fill us in. One of you guys got to say something. No? Tango's out?
I don't think there's something that's...
Nothing necessarily
weird.
Shot that you showed up and you're like, well, I never thought I would do this.
I never thought I'd see a 13-year-old girl in a race car.
Okay, there we go. There we go. I mean, she can't drive a car on the street.
No.
But she can get in one and go 130 miles an hour at ye old local dirt track.
Yeah.
God bless her. She ever win?
Yeah.
What's her name? Can we say her name?
Yeah, Kayla Burdett, huh? Okay. K49. She will be at Dixie Speedway April 6th.
Okay, cool.
In a black and pink car, I believe. Either that or I think the body's black and pink with a blue roll cage.
All right.
Yeah,
blue roll cages these days.
Yeah.
Everybody just used to have black roll cages back in the day.
Call it Papa Smurf. So.
All right.
Sure. I heard that car has a fish on the hood.
It does. It has a One Fish Productions logo on the hood.
Has the One Fish.
yeah, that my first racing partnership.
That's what's up.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
When we had talked about that, never would have thought that I'd have that on a car. And I'm just happy to support her.
Yeah.
And,
no, that's it, you know, that's a cool story to be a part of. Because, you know, whether she ever goes to, like, NASCAR or, you know, whatever, like, to be there at the beginning of something like that,
yeah,
and be like, hey, I knew that kid when she was 13 years old and driving a late model and race car.
She's got a ton of talent, too.
Yeah. She better, right? Yeah. I mean.
So when she was in the 602 Chargers division, she was racking up some wins there.
She was getting wins. That's what I was going to ask.
And then they, after so many wins, they kick you out of that division.
Right.
But they went ahead and moved up just because in that class you get a lot of wrecks.
Yeah.
You have a lot of inexperienced drivers, and so she would get caught up in other people's mistakes.
Right.
And you just don't want to tear cars up.
Yeah.
And so they decided to pull her from that, put her in the big dog series. And
ooh, man. You
know, now, I want to say it was the first race I went to for her. She qualified on the pole, either pole or second.
That's number one for the racing impaired. Yeah. You get to start in the front.
She was on the front row and had a fast car. It's like, man, this is going to be awesome. Watching her in qualifying, like I said, she was top of the pack, and the track was only getting faster. And that first, they got one lap under, or not even one lap done. They went into turn one. Car in the back spun out, got to restart.
And they
don't count the laps whenever you're...
Right, caution laps or whatever, yeah.
And so it's still the first lap of the race, and something breaks on the right front on the restart. She goes across, takes out the outside car, goes up on the wall, night's over.
Man.
But
the first time I ever went to the track with a team, we built this car, put it together over the winter, and you know, got it ready to roll. And we went out for hot laps, which is just practice, and got the green, one, turn two, going into turn three, the water pump blows, puts water down on the track, we slide up and hit the wall, didn't even complete an entire lap, we get the car back, and we tear the hood off of it, the radiator, the fan is in the radiator, all the belts and hoses are cut all to pieces, and the front is basically just torn off the race car. So my first time to the racetrack, we turned 3/4 of a lap.
Dang.
In practice, not even in a race. But, I mean, you know, the water pump blows. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Wasn't like the driver messed up. The car just fell apart. So, you know.
Yeah, it
win some, lose some.
Yeah. Well, start some, finish some.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. Start some, finish occasionally. Yeah, yeah, sometimes.
And if you've never been to a dirt race, like a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a bunch of rednecks, you know. Yeah. I'm a self-proclaimed redneck.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot that of that.
That is the most fun.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Especially, you know, Dixie, you get these waterless boat races. Have you ever been to one of
those? Yes, yeah. The gimmick races are always the waterless boat races, the spectator racing where, like, some guy just drives his car out on the track, you know, and they go around a couple times. And
I know Dixie Speedway, April 6th, has a demolition derby.
Yes.
Scheduled. Those are always the best, especially when you get the guys out there that aren't trying to win the thing, but they're just out there to put on a damage. Show.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is to keep your car alive
right,
as long as possible. But then you got guys out there that are being protective, you know, just barely tapping each other.
That's not a great show.
No. I want to see some carnage.
Yeah.
And so when you get Billy Joe Jenkins flying across the track, beelining.
Just destroying everything he can. Yeah.
03 Honda Civic. Like, it doesn't get better than that.
No, it's all dirt track racing. Like, dirt track folks might be mad at me for saying this, but the entertainment value is like on par with professional wrestling. Yeah. You know, like especially a live show that you go to and you're like talking trash with the bad guy while he's in the ring and he's like shaking his fist and the old lady's like, shut up or I'll come up. Like, You get a little bit of that in Dirt Track, but it's not the same thing.
It's not manufactured.
Right, but the entertainment level is similar.
And that's one thing I loved. I think it was either the Chili Bowl or Gateway Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
They put in a rule that there would be no fights in the pits. If you fight in the pits, you get arrested.
Yeah.
Number one, you can't enforce it. You can't do anything.
Right.
But between turn three and turn one, you could fight anybody you wanted. If you were going to fight them, you got out of your car there and you did it there in front of the fans. Because they said, number one, we can watch it.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a show.
It's marketable, right? Yeah.
And then, you have cops there to be able to stop it if it gets out of hand.
Right.
They said, whenever somebody ends up on the ground or it's all one-sided.
It's like a hockey fight. When somebody goes and they go to the ice, you got to stop it.
Yeah.
You
know, so some of those fights, they're pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Two guys that can't fight at all get out of their car and, like, duke it out.
I've only seen one fight. That was at Rome Speedway. I think Tango was with me. He was on the other side of the track. Some guys got in a fight there in turn one.
Mm.
And I heard it, and I turn around. Of course, I start recording.
Right.
Two cops come flying past me on four-wheelers.
Oh, man.
Break it apart.
The wild, wonderful world of dirt track racing. I miss it. On some level, I miss it, man. But at the same time, like, I look back and I think about being at the track in July and August, and it's a million degrees, and I'm toting tires and carrying gas cans, and, like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not that same guy. Like, I was 20 years old when we were doing that. Like, I don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's people love it, man.
Experience.
Yeah. So you've done that, and we've, you know, talked about some of the wild stuff there. What do you want to do? What's something you want to see, you can see yourself getting into?
I would love to chase that full time.
Yeah.
You know, I like being creative, and I like telling people stories like you do.
Yeah.
Telling other people stories is, I suck at telling my own stories.
I'm bad at it. Yeah.
You put me in front of a camera, my old YouTube channel, horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't make content. But if I can capture somebody else's content, you know, if they've got a cool story to tell and I've got a way to make that available to other people, you know, that's cool to me. And so I'd like to be able to chase that full time, you know, create content, social media stuff. We've talked a little bit about that.
Yeah. That's the deal now, right? I mean, you can have a job or you can... I don't know. I used to get in trouble at school. Like I worked at school as recently as 4 years ago and 2020, almost exactly. But I would get in trouble because I would say things like, hey, you can't tell a kid that he's not going to be a famous YouTuber. Make sure the kid's got a plan, right? And like, he might end up working in the carpet mill and that is what it is. But, like, don't tell a kid he can't be a famous YouTuber, because he might be. Like, you just never know, like, what somebody's going to throw out there and it's going to take off and go viral. There are people with zero talent whatsoever that are just huge on social media and places like YouTube, you know. But, so, you know, stick with it, man.
Yeah.
You got talent and you got a good eye and you got, you know, you're good at what you do. You're new at it still. You're still a young guy.
It's something I enjoy doing, too.
That's the most important thing.
You know. These football games.
Yeah.
You know, it started, I would go to high school football games on a Friday night anyway.
Right.
And so whenever I had the opportunity to be on the sideline with the camera, I was like, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's when I was big into sports, I was doing some freelance writing and I thought the same thing. Like I would pay to go to a ball game anyway, football, basketball, whatever it was. And then I was getting paid to go. And I was like, well, this is way cooler than
I'm still not quite there.
Yeah. Well, I caught the tail end of, like, the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I was in the final issue of the New Orleans Times-Picayune. They're still around. Oh. I guess it's online now. But I covered a New Orleans Voodoo game, which is arena football.
Yeah.
And they played the Georgia Force in Gwinnett. And I got to go, and I covered the Voodoo. And the next – they ran that paper the next day, and then that was, like, a Sunday, I think. And then that was the last paper issue of that newspaper. Everything's online now. So I kind of caught the tail end of that. I was doing a lot of work for different newspapers and things. And then it was kind of, we're getting into the digital age, and there were things like our Sports Central, which was minor leagues, any minor league sport you can think of was on there. And I wrote a column called Indoor Football This Week, or Indoor Football Weekly maybe, where I summed up the world of indoor football that week and arena teams and the little team that we had in Rome. So
would you just sit there and, like, watch different streams of all the arena teams?
Yeah,
and...
Yeah, you had to be a junkie because, you know, there's teams in, like, South Dakota and Indiana and Florida, and we had the team here in Rome. And so,
I forgot Rome had an indoor football team.
For 2 years, man, it was fantastic. But, yeah, you're just researching just like you do anything else, and you're looking at stat lines and watching streams. They were, like, streaming was a brand-new thing then. This was, like, 2004, 5, 6. You know, like, it was like, we stream our games, and not everybody was doing it. It was huge. But, yeah, we would find these streams and watch these ball games, and I knew who returned a kickoff for a touchdown in Bismarck, South Dakota, you know. I'd write these articles about it for things, places like our Sports Central. But, yeah, it's, you know.
Now everybody's got a voice.
That's kind of the problem we're running into, right, is that, like, we've all got a phone in our pocket, so we're all a photographer now, right? Yeah. Well, like,
I'll be honest, like, for your typical, like, daily photojournalism, an iPhone does great.
You're right, yeah.
Like, the video quality of my iPhone.
Yeah.
I shot half of a week of summer camp on my iPhone, and it was the best clips I had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got a $3,000 camera that I was like, well, why do that whenever I...
Right.
Like, the zoom capability of an actual camera is where it comes in.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that was what, like, like I said, I was on the tail end of that, where we didn't have that level of competition. Like, I was the only one signing up to cover a Florida Firecats game, you know, as they played the Daytona Beach Thunder in the AF2, you know, whatever. Wrote off an entire vacation like that one time. I went to Daytona Beach for a week, covered the Florida Firecats. They were from Fort Myers, and they played in Daytona against the Thunder. And the Cubs had a baseball team there, a minor league baseball team, and I covered them too, and wrote off the vacation as a business expense. I don't know. It was legal, right? I got to do it, so I wasn't – anyway.
As long as we're not admitting to tax evasion on the
podcast.
But
people weren't – like, there wasn't that level of competition then.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a podcast now. Like, it's hard to get your podcast noticed.
Well, even in the world of videography, you know, when I started with Tango – it was me, him, and maybe one other videographer on the field.
Yeah.
Me and him got started about the same time. And now, last season, had first round of the playoffs, kind of 27 videographers in the end zone with me. And I'm just like, where'd y'all come from?
I got my iPhone. There's so much competition, man. It's tougher now.
Also, with that competition comes a lot of really just like, a friend group almost, you know. This week I was reaching out to some other videographers that I had met at those games that, I mean, he was just covering the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
And I asked him a camera question, you know. I was like, hey, I'm looking at upgrading a camera, you know. What are your thoughts? And, you know, the fact that I could reach out to those different people because there's so much information on the internet, but I can't find the one thing I need.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you want somebody's experience and firsthand knowledge. Yeah.
And, you know, I've gotten some gigs that way too. You know, they're like, hey, I can't cover this.
Subcontracting, freelancing, stringing.
It's how I ended up in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. You made it in the paper.
Had a guy that couldn't make it down to the Cass versus Coffee game.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you get some shots for me? I was like, sure. And so, you know, anytime I'm able to help out another videographer, it's not really competition.
Right.
Well,
that's a good way to look at it.
You know, there's enough gigs to go around.
Well, that's what we got to realize, right? And, like, I learned that from Joe Rogan, of all places, and he talks about how, like, some comedians will act like it's a competition when, like, there aren't that many comedians. So, like, there's plenty of meat on the bone for everybody. My buddy John Cardinal he's real big on that. You guys met John. He's like, hey, man, everybody can win. Like, we can all team up and work together, and there's plenty to go around. So, I mean, to say competition, you know, like, there's a lot out there. But at the same time, if there's people in the group that you can call and be like, hey, what do you think about X, Y, and Z? Like, Adeline Spears talked about that a couple episodes back, the weather girl. what a tight-knit community that is, because, you know, like, let's do the weather together. Maybe you're covering the different area than me. Maybe it's the same, but, like, you also don't want to see me get blown away by a tornado, so you'll help me out where you can.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Well, and also just finding your niche in that community.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm the only guy out of that group that does dirt truck racing.
Right.
You know.
That was indoor football for me, yeah.
You know, a lot of them do, like, cars and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, I've done a shoot for cars, but it's just not quite my style.
Yeah.
And they've got a real eye for that. And so you're able to find your different areas, and if you can focus on that and get good at it.
Yeah. We got to team you up with Pyle. Pyle's a car guy. I think he would do well at the racetrack. You can put him on.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Holy smokes. The sushi place next door is coming through the wall on us.
I knew the other location was haunted, but...
You think it's haunted? I don't think it's haunted. The guy didn't die in the building.
That's just one story. We don't know who else has been in and out of that building.
Well, I mean, the bricks that you see on the podcast are from 1850.
Somebody died in that building.
I mean...
Several people have died in that building, most likely.
At some point, you know, Sherman burned most of the building at one point. That wall survived. And then that was before building codes. So they just threw it back up, you know. But, yeah, I think we're
downtown
okay.
Rome would still do that today if it...
Probably, yeah. If it burned down, they would just rebuild it back in the same footprint, yeah. That's fun, though. I think that's what makes it cool. What makes it unique.
Yeah, I love that brick backdrop.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We just put in fake brick on our youth stage.
See, fake brick, the pallet wood backdrops, like, we don't have to fabricate that at our place. We just have old bricks.
Fake shrubbery.
Formica.
Shrubbery?
What was the ficus? Is that the other one? Not the formica, but the ficus.
Brambling river oak. I'm sorry, brambling corner oak.
Corner oak. You learned that from Kevin Chris, didn't you?
No.
Come on.
No.
That's Preston's dad.
I think it's actually a Office reference.
Is it? Maybe.
I didn't watch The Office, but
I've seen. Yeah,
I've got some friends that quote it. And
it's a quotable show, much like Burnham Podcast.
I mean, there might be some Office quotes over things I say tonight.
Possibly.
Hayden gets editing.
We'll make some shorts out of it. It'll be fun. But we've been at it. How long have we been at it now? We've been at it for a little while.
About an hour.
Yeah. You ready to jump off? I'm ready to jump off. We'll do it again sometime, yeah. Though, man. I appreciate you coming on and risking your life in the dark and rain to come to Rome tonight. And
coming down 293.
Yeah. Thanks again, Landon and Emma, Three Rivers Nutrition. Stop by here on North Broad Street. Did a phone just ring? Let's get out of here. This is crazy. God bless you guys. Haunted. We love you. See you next time. I swear I heard a phone like a dilly.
No, it was a car honking.
Is that what it was? God bless us, everyone.
Oh, yeah?
That's that Marvel ending.
May God bless us, everyone.
Trying to steal me Lucky Charms.
Oh, man.